Amen. Thank you, Don. Everybody doing all right this morning? Amen. Hey, God is good. All the time. He really, really is good. Well, listen, we're glad that you're here today. And as always, listen, look around, give somebody a wave and a smile that says, you know what, I'm glad to see you today. Because we're right now kind of getting to that point where look around you, because you're going to probably see people on and off as you go forward, because summertime is kind of here. I always say the official start of summer is when school lets out, and then all of a sudden people start going every which direction. So at any rate, we're so glad to see you here today. And as always, if you're a part of our online audience, we thank you for joining us. And as always, I want to mention our minister to the online audience is Dr. John Cazito. So you have a voice there, and I appreciate the notes he takes with our online stuff. If you guys that make comments online, I want you to know they are read. They're read by Dr. Cazito. They're read by me. We don't always have a chance to react, or I don't, obviously, during the message. But at any rate, we do read those. And so far, you all have been kind. And I really appreciate the opportunities to read through some of your comments that you make. But we're so glad that you are here today. Like I said, we're not letting up just yet. We've got a lot of things that are still on the slate. I'll mention those a little bit later on. Still yet to come in the future. We've got graduation Sunday. They've got the Southern Baptist Convention that's coming up. We got a business meeting coming up in the month of June. Just still a lot of things that are going to be taking place, but we'll try to keep you abreast of the situation and what's taking place and happening as best we can. But for now, let's just look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us clear our hearts and minds that we might be receptive to His word in our lives in all manners through song. As always, I try to take a moment to pause and remind us that let's just not come in and do things habitually. Let's meet the Lord here today. Think about the words that you'll lift up in song. Think about the scriptures that you will hear, because the Lord's brought you here for a reason today, and He has something for each and every one of us if we will only be still in His presence and if we will only listen. How many of y'all have ever been hollered at for not listening? The rest of you that didn't put your hand up? I know better than that. But yeah, and then there's sometimes that you're hearing, but you're not listening, okay? Today, I want to encourage you to listen to what the Lord has to say. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful that we can come together in your house. Lord, to gather around your word. Lord, to lift up our voices in song, to worship you in so many aspects. Father, I pray that today, all that we do truly would be acts of worship, not just something that we have done over and over, and Lord, some repetitive act that we do, but Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be together today as we seek you in this place. And Lord, we're grateful for the promise that you give us in your word that says, if we seek, we will find. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. So Lord, I pray that you will help us to do something that's very difficult to do in this world today, and that's be still in your presence and hear you. For Lord, you know where each and every one of us are in our lives, in our walk with you. And today, your word, some song, Lord, some act of giving or whatever that we do around here today is meant for each and every individual on their level. So Father, I pray that today they will have the opportunity to see you in all that is said and done. And that, Lord, as we go away from this place today, we'll be glad for the things that we've done in the here and now when we have the opportunity to see you face to face. So, Lord, bless our time as only you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Standing on the promises, please stand as we sing hymn number 335.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King,
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises.
Thank you.
Amen. If you got your Bible, today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. So if you've got your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn there. I know that we live in the world where there's a lot of electronic devices that now take place. Maybe I'm a little old-fashioned on that, but I still like to be able to have my Bible in my hand. I said to somebody the other day, I said, I don't know if I could make it through college in today's day and age because they have a lot of electronic books. Well, I dog-eared corners. I took my highlighter and did all kinds of things, and I could make notes to go back to it. But I had a guy tell me this past week that I was officially old. So now I know it depends on the crowd that you're with, but you know, after he told me that, I looked around and I said, holy moly, I am the oldest person attending this little thing right here by 11 years. And I was like, yeah. So they were calling me old man. And I was like, that's right. Don't forget it. But at any rate, listen, we're going to look at some passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 7 today. And as I thought about this, have you noticed that as we go forward in our world today, we are seeing so many different, and I'm going to just go ahead and use the term theological viewpoints. Have you noticed that? Yeah, there are so many different, it's like something new is popping up all the time. And let me tell you what really surprises me. To a degree, it surprises me. To a degree, it does not. But I think one of the things that is surprising is the following that people get over things that really are false doctrine, things that really do not make sense. And they gather a following like you have never seen before. I mean, masses of people follow these things. And I began to ask myself why that is. You know, why is it that something, and I'll try to be kind as I say it. In a lot of cases, something so absurd can get such a following, okay? And yet, I asked some people. You know me. If I don't know, I'm not afraid to go ask. And I'll ask anybody. I'm like, well, what is the appeal about what it is that you are following? And you know what the number one answer in that was? The number one answer when I have talked to people about things like that has been this: those people love me and care about me. It didn't have anything to do with a theological stance or a theological viewpoint, be it there or not. It had to do with whether or not they were accepted in the crowd that they were in. The theology could be, and in most cases, was completely errant. You know, it was something that was incredibly crazy. And yet, that's not why they were there. They were there because they were accepted by the people in that crowd. That kind of shows you a little bit about what the temperature of society is as well, as far as loving and reaching one another. And I've often thought to myself, as Christian people and according to the Word of God, that should be what church is really all about. Church should be the place where you can come and where you can be loved, where you can be accepted. Now understand something, accepting a person is completely different than accepting a sinful activity that they're involved in. And contrary to what people may say, you can love the sinner and not love the sin. Amen? You can love somebody but not love what they are doing. And that love should permeate everything that they are. I can't tell you how many times in my ministry that there have been somebody that's come up and they said, preacher, listen, I got to talk to you. I really messed up. And they've laid out what they've done. And you know what I did? I didn't sit there and say, oops, let me go get the cat of nine tails and whip you like crazy. No, you know what I said? I said this. I said, you know what? You're right. You really messed this one up. But I'm not going to beat you over the head with that. You already understand that. The question is, have you taken it to the Lord in prayer? Have you repented and not want to go back down that road again? It doesn't do me any good to browbeat somebody with the sin that they have just confessed to me as well as to the Lord. Because where there is repentance, where there's confession and true repentance, there's forgiveness. And if the Lord throws it as far as the east is from the west and into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again, then I should do the same. That's the way it should be. So my deal is, How can I help get you back on track? You know what else that means? That means, how can I walk through this situation with you? Now, here's the problem with a lot of folks at times. A lot of other people know where that person has messed up. And it's been very bad, very embarrassing, or whatever else. And unfortunately, at times, Christian people will turn their back on their very own, when that's the time they need someone to walk with them down that road. My times of ministry, I've actually had people say, well, I can't believe that you're actually, you know, hanging around with that person. You know me, I'm like, why? Why? Did they fall from heaven? And yeah, man, they might have fallen from grace, but there's such a thing as restoration. And right now is the time when our brother needs somebody more than ever. And yet what you're doing is shunning them. That's not biblical.
Well, I just don't want to be aligned with them.
I've said some things I probably shouldn't have said in my younger days to them. It's probably like, well, you know, maybe people just don't want to be aligned with you with an attitude that way. That's not what the Lord says. Matter of fact, last time I checked, my Bible says the Lord sat down and dined with sinners. Holy moly. Can you imagine that? He was in the presence of known prostitutes. And I always liked what he said. He told them, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. But see, that's the sovereignty of God. That's the grace of God. That is the love of God that we should emulate. Now, that's a different sermon for a different day. But today, we want to get back to the fact that there are so many ways that the Word of God is twisted. And there's one major thing that throughout today's message, I want to drive home to you. Okay? I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. I'm going to drive it home later. But I want to tell you, it is critical in your spiritual walk. So look with me at Matthew chapter 7. We're going to go down and we're going to begin reading at about verse 15, okay? Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 15. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, again, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be filling this place. Father, I know and realize that there is spiritual battle that's going on in hearts and lives that are seated in this place today, Lord, in hearts and lives that are watching us today online. Father, there's spiritual warfare around the premise of this property. And Lord, your demons are very real, but so are your angels. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to focus upon you. Lord, I pray that we would truly give ear to what the Spirit would say today in our hearts and lives. Father, keep us from distraction, that we might hear you today, that we might be drawn close to you today. And Lord, as always, we pray if there is one within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you today, that, Lord, they would give their life to you, that they would understand what true freedom and peace is really all about, because, Lord, it only comes from you. So, Father, for these next few moments, I ask that you would help me, Lord, that you would use me as your messenger. Lord, that you would reach into the hearts and the lives of those who hear my voice today. Lord, may it not be my voice they hear, but may it be yours. And Lord, we'll give you credit, praise, and glory for all that you'll do as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we look at this particular scripture, it's pretty upfront, isn't it? It has told us, and I mean, for 2,000 years, this passage has not changed a single bit. But verse 15 says that you and I, as believers in Christ, are to beware of false prophets. So what's a false prophet? A false prophet is one that goes about teaching a word or a doctrine that is outside of the Word of God. Okay? It's something completely different. It is something that doesn't coincide with what we read in God's Word. Now, here's that point that I said I want to drive home to you today on so many levels that it is incredible. How do you know when something is outside of what God has placed in His Word? Very simple question. How do you know? Y'all have to speak a little louder up here. All I heard was, how do you know? Listen, let's just say something comes along in your life and you're like, that seems a little strange. How do you find out the truth? Where do you go? There you go. See, folks, here's the problem. There are a majority of people today who profess to be Christians that have to blow the dust and the growth off of their Bible each Sunday when they come to church. And I'm talking about church-going people. The only time that they pick this word up is on a Sunday. They don't immerse themselves in it. And listen, if you are going to be able to identify a false prophet, if you're going to be able to identify false doctrine, you're going to have to know what the real stuff really is. Because you see, I've said it in my whole ministry, and I say it again, I appreciate when you listen to me. I really do. But I am not God, nor am I the Word of God. I am a fallible man. So what you hear coming from this pulpit must be sifted through the Word of God. Because here's the problem. If you don't, you will be tossed to and fro, as the Word says, by every wind of doctrine, and you will take it as gospel truth, and the authority on that in your heart will be, thus said Pastor Roy. Well, Pastor Roy does not have the credence that this Word of God has. You try, you test, you prove what comes from the pulpit. And as long as you've done that, listen, Central Baptist has had a phenomenal historical record of doing that. If something bad or unbiblical is coming out of this pulpit, it is your job to correct it. Amen? Regardless of what it says, because the Word also says a little leavening leavens the whole loaf, doesn't it? So you have to know what the Word of God says. It says, beware of false prophets. How will you identify them? You will identify them because they are preaching a strange doctrine that is not in keeping with what the Word of God tells us. Now, I pray that for you, that when you hear something that does not sound correct, that you pay it. I've always used this term, pay attention to the tension. When you sit back and go, that didn't sound just right, then you need to get into the Word, and you need to find out why it didn't sound right. And you need to make sure, and here's the other part of it. The Holy Spirit is the one who is creating the tension within your life. I can't tell, listen, it used to be that there were little nuance changes in doctrine that people would try to make. Now, they don't even try to be subtle with it. It is something so far off the wall and so goofy that I'm like, what book's that in? And they're like, well, that's what my preacher said. Don't care what he said. What does this say? And we've got to be steady with that. Folks, why do I preach this so hard today? Because whether you see it or not, most of the time, you know, I would like to say that you have been sheltered children, okay? I get to be Papa, even though some of y'all are older than me. God called me to be here. God called me to be your pastor. God called me to be your shepherd. He called me to preach His inerrant Word of God from Genesis all the way through to maps. And when you are continually exposed to the truth, then you know the truth. But you see, that's not what's going on outside. Man, there are some crazy doctrines that are floating around out there. That's why I say, I hope and pray you've been sheltered children, but I also hope and pray that you have walked with the Lord and you're walking in enough depth that when you see something errant, that it sends up a red flag, fires a cannon, and sets off an alarm within your spirit. Because that is the only way you will keep from going down that path, plain and simple. So the Lord Jesus told us, beware of false prophets. If He's telling us to beware of something, then that means they exist, doesn't it? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And we understand that concept. We watched Bugs Bunny, man. You know, it wasn't too violent for us. We realized you couldn't walk off of a cliff and stay in thin air. And where are my Bugs Bunny people? I love y'all. I still watch Bugs. All right? We knew those things. But y'all remember Ralph and Sam? Yeah, one of them with the coyote and the dog. And remember when he would dress up like a sheep because the coyote was trying to take the sheep, but the dog would always catch him. But he would put on that sheep's clothing so he could go out and be among them to do them harm. Are y'all picking up the illustration here? That is exactly what Satan does. That is exactly what false prophets do. They're not doing it from afar. They're coming right in to your living room. They're coming right in to your church. They're coming right in to your computer email box. Plain and simple. Beware. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. It says inwardly they're ravenous wolves, and they're out there for your destruction. Folks, let me clear something up that I think at times we tend to forget. Satan is a liar. Satan is a thief. Satan is bent upon your destruction. Do you understand me? He is bent on your destruction. Do not allow him in close proximity. I can still remember as a police officer, one of the biggest things they taught us was you watch the proximity of the people that you're dealing with. Right, brother? You don't let them get within a certain zone. Too much can happen too quick. You know, you as long as you can, you keep an eye on them. You don't turn your back on them because they'll shiv you in a New York minute. They might look like they're trying to cooperate, but they will come after you. And every now and then, you're going to have to lower the boom. Like I said, I'm old school. Sometimes people needed a little smack on the head. And when they needed a little smack on the head, they got a little smack on the head. Right? Yeah? And it wasn't like, oh, well, you know what? You shouldn't have to worry about your son getting shot every time he robs a store. That's the logic. This is logic that we're dealing with in 2026. I don't want to get political, but I can still remember lately watching the stuff, particularly about the border and everything, and they're like, I still remember that one particular congressperson said, well, these illegal aliens have not broken a single law. Are you understanding how Satan likes to get in there and twist things? And I can still remember the guy's answer. He said, yeah, they have broken a law. They entered the country illegally, and thus that's why they're called illegal aliens. They have broken a law. But you see, when we glaze it over all the time, society and evil wants to glaze all this stuff over so that it doesn't sound bad. Have you noticed that society has changed the names and terms of everything? They call homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. We try to change the name so it doesn't have the same nuance that it had before. Folks, I don't care what you call it. Sin is sin. Always has been, always will be. And let me tell you, Satan is trying to capture your attention. He's coming at you as a wolf in sheep's clothing. He is offering you all these things that look so good. But let me make you a promise. You turn your back on him and he will gut you like a fish in a New York minute. Because that's who he is. Don't forget who he is. I'm not trying to give Satan any deity whatsoever, but let me tell you what, you better respect the fact that he can take you out. Because you try to face him by yourself, you will lose. You know, when Satan comes knocking on the door, you look through the little peephole and you say, Lord, there's somebody at the door for you. Don't open the door. You let Jesus handle it because he's the only one that can. How many times have I heard people over 30 years who said, well, I never thought I would be in this situation. And we would talk about it. And there was warning sign after warning sign after warning sign. And when they become true to themselves, they said, yeah, I saw the warning signs. I just didn't do anything about them. Well, duh. Satan's counting on that. But he says, you've got to look out for false prophets. Then he goes on and he tells us this in verse 16. It's like, okay, I'm going to look out for false prophets. I know what they are. I know what they're doing. But the thing about it is, how do I really identify them? Verse 16 says, you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by what they do. You will know them by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You will know them as they prove the word of God to be true in their actions and in what they do. You will know them by their fruits. Think about that. It says, do men gather, verse 16, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? This is such common sense. You know, if you go out to an apple tree, you don't pick pears, right? If you do, I want to come to your house. I want to see that. You don't go out to a grapevine and pull oranges. What you are eventually shows. You know what? How do you know an apple tree is an apple tree? By the fruit on it. You know, you don't have any trouble in season looking going, huh, that's an apple tree. I believe that's a Golden Delicious. Yeah, you do that because you know you're right on that. But how many of y'all have ever been around somebody that goes out and they're like, that's a mossy oak from the third generation of the oak family. And you've looked at that tree and you're like, and they said, well, what do you think about that? I said, well, I think it's a big old tall tree. How many of y'all ever had somebody do that? They name some kind of tree, and you look at it, and you're like, okay, you don't know what it is. It's a tree. It's got leaves on it. The way that you understand something is by the fruit that it bears. Yeah, oak trees, they produce acorns, don't they? You know what? If I'm sitting there and looking at the ground and I see acorns and I see this big old tree and I kind of know what it looks like and they're hanging all over it, I don't have trouble going, that's an oak tree. Because it's producing acorns. You will know them by their fruits. Listen, as believers, do you realize that the Lord tells the world, you will know them, my people, by their fruits. Sometimes when we look at even our own, it's hard to tell, isn't it? By the way, you're not alone. Listen, if the Holy Spirit's put that on your heart, you are not alone. You know, even coming to church today, I've always said this. Like driving is one of the big things I'm going to have to answer to God about when I get there. And, this guy tailgated me all the way down this little country road, and then, you know, right before I got ready to get on the highway, a car pulled out in front of me, and then we're getting on the ramp, and when we get up there, you know, the oncoming traffic moves over, and we move out, and that guy coming behind me shoots out into that left lane, and that car got right up beside me that moved over to be kind, and we were running the same speed. And I went, tailgate me, will ya? I'm just going to ride right here. It's not my fault. I'm in the lane I'm supposed to be in. But the guy over on the left-hand side, I mean, this guy's like this far from his bumper. It was probably not good that I was celebrating in his demise, as it were. Now, you and I know it's gotten worse, but you've done the same thing. You've been out here coming to church, and you've gunned it on 68 to get to stay in that left lane to keep them people in the right-hand lane from getting in front of you, right? Where are you? Where are my people? You've done that. That light turned green, and it looked like you were at the drag strip, because you were going to beat them. They weren't going to get up there and cut you off. You're my people. We'll work together at that intersection next time. But listen, what is it that people think about us? When people look at us, do they see Jesus? It says, you will know them by their fruits. You will know God's people by their fruits, but you will also know false prophets by their fruits. I listen to some of the most incredible heresies preached from some of the largest pulpits in America today. And I think to myself, what an opportunity that you have. Thousands upon thousands of people are listening to you, and all you're doing is making people feel good about going to hell. Because let me tell you something, and I've heard preachers say it before, I don't want to preach anything offensive. Listen, the gospel is offensive. Some people need to be offended so that they will see the kingdom of heaven. Sin is offensive to the Father. We don't have but one gospel, one Christ. And he is the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I don't care how good you are. Good people go to hell. I don't care how much you give. Wealthy people go to hell. Don't care how many service positions that you have had for the kingdom of God. Servants go to hell without Jesus. Now, I'm going to prove that point here in just a minute. A disturbing scripture to all of us. But verse 16, he says, you'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? You don't go out and pull pears off of an apple tree. You don't go pull oranges off of a grapevine. You go pull the fruit which it was intended to bear off of it. Verse 17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Ooh, you hear that? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Would you consider yourself in Christ a good tree? Then it cannot bear bad fruit. It should not bear bad fruit. And you see, I think part of the problem in society today is that people look at Christians and we stand there like the Christian tree, but they see every fruit known to mankind that's not Christian hanging on our tree. That's why people would sit back and say, well, you know what? If that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be that. If a Christian acts like you do, I don't want to have anything to do with that. And I've said this 1,000 times, I'll say it 1,000 more. Even unbelievers know the way that believers should act. Even unbelievers know how Christians should react in situations. And every time you don't, guess what Satan does? When you don't react as you should and we mess up, Satan is right there, has a crowd around you, and he's going, look what he's doing. Christians don't do that. That's not what Christians are supposed to do. Is he real Christian? You should lose respect for him. people are watching you. Whether you know it or not, somebody in this world is watching you and wants to be just like you. Think about it. Some of you have seen that as you have raised children. They want to be just like you. Till they're teenagers, and then they won't have nothing to do with you. And then they kind of come around a little bit later on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But they want to be just like you. You ever seen it? You know, you sit down outside and you cross your legs, and then all of a sudden your little boy sits down beside you and crosses his just like you just did. He wants to be just like you. There is somebody watching you that admires you and respects you, and they want to be just like you. What path are you leading them down? Are you leading them down the paths of righteousness for His name's sake? Is that what you're doing? Or are you just like any other person in the world, going to be an incredible disappointment to the Father and an incredible disappointment to them? Because verse 18 tells us, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You know why? Because it's useless. It's useless. I've shared with you in my testimony before about that rhododendron. It's in my front yard. Planted that thing. I grew up with rhododendron. My neighbor, man, that guy and his wife, they were flower people. They could make anything bloom. And all down the side of their yard, they had those purple rhododendrons. And man, they would come out and they were just so gorgeous. I just remember growing up, walking past them, getting on the school bus every day. And Janet said, well, let's put a rhododendron up here in the natural area. I was, oh yeah, let's do that. We planted that thing, and I know for 5 years it didn't have a single flower on it. And I was irritated. I was like, I said, you know what? I'm cutting that baby down. If it ain't going to do what it's supposed to do, it's gone. Jana said, no, don't, just give it time. I'm like, I'll give it 5 years. How much time does it need? My neighbor's rhododendrons bloomed every single year, and they were gorgeous. That baby's on life support. Next year, it's gone. Guess what happened next year? One or two little flowers, but it bloomed. And of course we left it. And now there's years where there's a pile of them on it. It's gorgeous. And then there's years when it won't hit a tap of a snake. You're like, what is up with this bush? But every tree that does not bear fruit, according to the Word of God, is cut down and thrown into the fire, just like what I was going to do with the rhododendron. He says, therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Now, you and I, we judge people in that way. You say, I know them by their fruits, but you got to understand you're being judged as well. People are judging you. Do you represent the Master well? When people look at you, do they say, you know what? I know that living a Christian life is a struggle, but I would certainly like to pattern my life after that person. We all have heroes in the faith. We all have people that we would certainly love to pattern our lives after because we see them victorious. A lot of times we don't see all the things they go through to be victorious, but we see them being victorious. You start being like them, you start trying to be like Jesus, you're gonna find out that there's a whole lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that you don't know about. You ever seen that before when there's a person that you know that's lost maybe several loved ones very close in a row, and you look at them and you're like, I just don't understand how they make it from day to day. Or they struggle with an illness, but yet every time you see them, there's a smile on their face and a kind word. And you sit back and go, man, I just don't understand how they do that. And sometimes you'll ask them, and you know what I've heard? Oh, yeah, the Lord gave me another day. And this is the day that the Lord has made. I will and be glad in it. Sometimes we don't rejoice very well, do we? Sometimes we're like Yosemite Sam.
confounded, frickin' fracking, no good, low down, dirty, double crime. I mean, we just bring out the Yosemite Sam vocabulary, and that's what life is for that day.
Great witness, isn't it?
Nope.
Now, I want to hit something that's incredibly important, and then I'm going to shut it down. I think we understand that we have to be careful because there are false prophets. I think we have to sift them through the Word of God. But here's something that I think each and every one of us need to consider, because this is not what Roy says. This is what thus says the Lord. I want you to look at verse 21 with me, and I want you to ask yourself this question. That is a very important verse. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to pause right there for just a moment. Because sometimes people sit back and say, well, preacher, that's not what you've been telling us. You've been telling us that, you know, if we repent and call on the name of the Lord. Yeah, that's exactly right. And yes, you can come to know the Lord that way. The problem is it a genuine conversion experience? Because, see, when you're surrendering your life to Jesus, that means you're giving everything that you are to Him. And there's a lot of people who play the facade. There's a lot of people who act, they live in disguise as a Christian, but yet they have never called upon the name of the Lord in a salvation fashion. Now, I'm not here to try to make you doubt your salvation today, but I am certainly here for you to make sure that you have it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now, by the way, these are words in red. So what does that mean? If they're letters, words in red, who said it? Jesus Himself. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That means there's going to be a lot of people who profess to be believers who are not. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to dress up and come to church and interact, and they're going to hold high positions. I believe they're going to be preachers in hell, because they weren't there because God, because God did something in their heart. It was just a good vocational pick, and yet they never surrendered to the Lord. They've been a good person. They've done all the things they should do as a Christian, except the main thing, and that's giving their life to Jesus. That should stop us. I don't know about you. That should stop us in our tracks. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But then he goes on and he says this, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, he gives a little bit of clarity to it. Now, that is not propagating salvation by works. That is not what this verse is saying, because we know we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you know what this says? This says that the person who has Jesus in them should be changed outwardly. That means that you can't go do the things that you used to do, the sinful things, without the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life. I love it when I've had some opportunity to lead some crusty old souls to Jesus, man. I'm talking salty old people. People that in the neighborhood said, that guy's going, you remember the term, that guy's going to bust hell wide open. And I've seen them come to know Jesus, and I've watched Jesus change them. Change them. And when I say change them, I'm talking about in every way. I have even seen physical changes in people when they truly gave their life to Jesus. And some of the, when the old salty guy says to me, he goes, preacher, I need to talk to you for a minute. They're still a little rough around the edges, you know. Okay. And they sit down and they'll tell you, they'll say, well, I don't know what's going on, but I'll tell you one thing. I used to go down, drink rum, play cards with the boys every Friday night. And I don't know, for some reason it's not fun anymore, and I feel bad about it. What's going on? And I said, well, let me tell you what's going on. That's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life. I said, you know what? To me, that's a great, great sign. You know why? Because where there is no Holy Spirit, there is no conviction. Yeah, have you ever noticed that you look back and you say, I don't see how people can do these things. I don't see how people can live the way that they live and put their head on a pillow and go to bed at night. Let me tell you how. There's no conviction because there's no Jesus. They don't know any better. For them, it's perfectly fine. But for me and you who know Jesus and have the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're bothered. And now let me tell you this. You're not going to outrun the Holy Spirit. He created all of it. You can't go to the highest heaven you could ever get to and outrun him. You can't go to the lowest depth ever and outrun him. You cannot outrun the conviction of the Holy Spirit, period. So if you're one of his children, you are held responsible. Did you ever have that happen in your life when you were doing something you shouldn't have been doing with one of your friends? And what happened was when you got caught, there were consequences for you. Your parents exercised consequences on you, but your friend's parents didn't. And you were sitting back going, well, how come I'm the one that's that has to do this? How come I'm the one that's got to clean this mess up? How come I'm the one that's got to do it? They were with me too. And your parents said, I'm not their parents. Well, let me tell you something. You have a heavenly Father who is your parent. Who says, nope, not supposed to do that. And by the way, how do you find out how you should live? Are you catching the importance of this? Are you understanding why it shouldn't just be a Sunday thing that we do? Do you understand why it's important to be able to come together so that you know the real thing so well that anything outside of that glares at you? I've literally laughed at some things. People say, well, you know, the Bible says this. And I'm like, where? In fact, the Bible says quite the opposite of that. And you know what they do? They go, where? And I'd say, right here, let me show you. Do you think they wanted to listen to that? No. You know why? Because Satan doesn't want them to listen to you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. I want you to check and make sure the Holy Spirit's in your heart and your life today. I want you to make sure that you haven't just been going through the motions, because I'm going to tell you this much. We're going to see each other and spend all of eternity together. So if you don't like me, you better get used to me. You better start loving me, because I want to see you there as well. Break my heart for you not to be there. Verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, this is Jesus, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow. Lord, didn't I preach for 40 years in your name? Yeah. But the problem is, Roy, you didn't know me. You knew about me. You told people about me. And I use that because my word doesn't return void. But you didn't know me. Depart from me. I don't know who you are. Cast out demons in your name. Listen, even demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Done many wonders in your name. Lord, we did all this for you. And the Lord says, I get that. But the problem is, you never knew me. So my question today is, do you know him? Again, I don't want you to doubt your salvation, but I also don't want you to have a false sense of security because Satan loves to lull us into loves to lull us into comfort. Oh yeah, I'm a believer. Yeah. When I was 4 years old, I trusted Christ. Well, I always like to answer this question this way. Why don't you tell me about your salvation experience? Tell me about when you met Jesus. That's it. You've often heard me use the illustration, I was up on the mountain and there was a campfire and a breeze blew across my neck and all the hair stood up and the full moon was out and it was beautiful and I knew at that point I was there. Where? All I know is you're on the top of the mountain having a nice time and seeing some great scenery. What does that have to do with you trusting Jesus? But see, Satan fools people into that. People who walk into churches every Sunday of their life, dedicated churchmen, don't know Jesus. Because we're busy being Christians. You know, we're trying to do all the right stuff. We're busy. We're doing the busy work. But we don't know him. You ever work for a major company? Yeah, a lot of us, you know what I'm talking about. Good example, David works for Edward Jones. You might have met Edward Jones before. Have you ever met Edward Jones? He passed away, but you know what? You work for Edward Jones. And David has the name on his door, Edward Jones. He helps with investments with Edward Jones. Edward Jones is dead, and David never even knew him. Knows a lot about him, but never knew him. Are y'all getting what I'm, you picking up what I'm putting down here? You can know a lot about Jesus and never know him. I beg you today to ensure that you know Jesus. Because I want to see you in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus in you changes you. What a great, I've seen people before who have professed Jesus and there was never a single change in their life. And I'm not trying to be judgmental, but you sit back and go, You remember this verse, that not all who say Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I'm begging you today, I don't want to see a single person in this room walk away from here today without Jesus. I don't want a single person that's watching this broadcast continue their life without Jesus. You have called on his name. But do you have a relationship with him? Is he part of your life? Or are you just going through the motions? One of my favorite classes in high school was drama. Not because I liked that, because I liked the acting part of it. I played a really good hillbilly for the senior class thing. It was great. I loved it. But you know what the really interesting part was? That was not me. That was not the real me. That was the actor in me. And everybody, all my friends knew that. But you know, people that came to that didn't know me didn't know that that was not really how I was or really how I talked. My friends knew. Folks, Jesus knows whether you're wearing the mask. And today, he is confronting you with that. Have you trusted Jesus? Without a doubt. Has he changed your life? Brad, you guys come up. We're going to have our time of invitation. Again, it's not my invitation. The calling upon the Lord. I said before, it's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to call, Lord, Lord. Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. But what's the backup in that? Are you going to allow Jesus to change who you are from the vilest of sinner to those who have been washed with the blood of the Lamb? I'm going to be there. My uniform's going to be dirty, but I'm going to be there. It's going to be torn. There's going to be bruises, but I'm going to be there. And by golly, I want to see you with me. Let's fight the good fight of faith together. If you have not trusted Jesus, it's time to begin that walk with him. You can simply bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I've been faking this thing forever. But today, I'm asking you to come into my heart. Save my soul. Lord, I give you every part of who I am. I surrender. I surrender. Then, Lord, help me to live in a way that's pleasing to you, because even what we've learned today, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Help me, Lord, to reflect you in all that I say and all that I do. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, the thing about it is, if you trusted Jesus, we all want to know, because we want to celebrate with you. I mean, that's the cool part about it. Maybe there's some things that you need to take care of. Maybe you need to follow him in believer's baptism. Maybe the Lord's called you to be a part of this fellowship, to serve him through it. Whatever it is, now's the time to do it. Now, I've also said this. You need to do it now. You already know what you need to do. Okay? The Holy Spirit's not laxed in that. You get one verse of the invitation hymn. You hear me? If don't let Satan tell you, well, you're in the middle of the pew, you're going to have to bug them. But bug them! They'll move. If you need this altar, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. If you want to profess to the world, hey, I know I accepted Jesus today, and I want to strive to live like him. You can do that. That's what this time is for. You got one verse of turn your eyes upon Jesus. So start. There'll be more verses if you're making your way down here. Brad will keep on singing. Vicky will keep on playing. We'll get her done. Listen, you know what you need to do. Will you do it now? As we stand, as we sing, our invitation hymn number 320, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior.
Heads are bowed as your eyes are closed. Man, what a feeling. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. How true that really is. I pray that that is your, not only your song, but I pray that it is your prayer as well. At this time, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. It's so good to just be in your presence. And Lord, we're so thankful for your word that is our guide. Lord, I just pray that you will help us to follow your word, to be cautious of those false prophets that are all around us today. And Lord, as we walk with you, I pray that we will do so in a manner that brings joy not only to you, but to us as well, as we follow your journey in life for each and every one of us. And now, Lord, it's time for us to give back to you that which you have blessed us with. Lord, I pray that as a church, we will be good stewards. I pray that as parishioners, we will be good stewards, that your work may continue on. Lord, may you bless us, bless the gift and the giver, as we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Biggie. Just let me give you a couple things here, and then we'll get you rolling out the door. As far as birthdays this week, Saturday coming up on June the 6th, we have two. We've got Valerie Giles and Shirley Chavis that are going to be celebrating birthdays this coming Saturday. So as you get a chance, hug their neck. And Valerie, she may be a little bleary-eyed because that new little girl that you tell her, it's time for her to bring that little girl to church. I need to, yeah. Valerie, if you are watching, I need to hug a little girl, so you bring her by here, so we can get all these ladies and guys get a chance to love on her a little bit. But be sure to wish Shirley and Valerie a happy birthday this coming week. We're not showing any anniversaries for this coming week, but a couple things that we do have going on for today. I am asking if you know of graduates or have graduate information, please let me know. That there were forms back there in the narthex, so if you picked up a form, please get that back to me today. Our graduation Sunday will be recognized on June the 14th, so keep that in your mind, June 14th. But that way we'll have some information about our graduating seniors, and we can put that information up, as well as have an opportunity to know a little bit more about what their future looks like. So if you need that or need a graduation form, they're back there. Please try to get that back to me today. If not, scan it, email it. That'll work as well. Today, 4:45 to 6 is going to be choir practice right here in the sanctuary. 6 o'clock p.m. will be the adult Bible study, classroom 5, with Pastor David down the hall. And then at 7 o'clock, or right after the Bible study, the wind ensemble will actually be practicing here in the sanctuary. What's that? Not tonight. Oh, okay. All right. So y'all just testing me, right? No wind ensemble tonight. Everything else, choir practice, senior adult Bible study, no wind ensemble tonight. But that will be in the future as you go. So, also, tomorrow, on June the 1st, Steve's D-Life group is actually going to be meeting, right? 6 o'clock. There we go. Steve's D-Life. How do you like that picture? It's by the way, so you can stare at it a little bit longer, I do want to let you guys know that this past week, Steve did have his ordination council. Pastors from the Piedmont Association came to Central Baptist, and Steve met with them. They had an opportunity to examine his testimony, his call to ministry, his theological positions, and so forth, and then voted unanimously to approve ordination for Steve Kelly. So Steve is now an ordained minister of Central Baptist Church. And we will be planning an ordination service for him in the future. We want to make sure that his family members that want to be here for that can be here for that. Our deacons will play a part in that as far as the laying on of hands in that service, and we look forward to what Steve's going to be able to do for the Lord, and we're so glad that we call him one of ours at Central Baptist Church. So congratulations, Steve. I never had a doubt in you, although I know it's kind of rough and tumble sometimes, you know, when you don't know what you're going to be asked. But so anyway, Steve's D group will be meeting tomorrow, 6 o'clock p.m. Let me see if I can get back to where I'm supposed to be. And then Mari's group, yours is meeting tomorrow on Monday as well. But Mari's group meets at 6:30 to 8:30 at their home, at the Kelly home. And if you have any questions about that, you can talk to Mari. She can give you directions and everything else along the way. Then this coming Wednesday, don't forget, is the at 10 o'clock is the men's breakfast. They meet over at Olympic in Colfax at 10 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock will be the Ladies Connections meeting. That is on Wednesday the 3rd. Ladies Connections meeting, 4 o'clock in Family Life Center 116. That's the conference room next door. A couple of things that we've got coming up in the future. Mark your calendars. Don't forget, April the 26th is when we started our baby bottle campaign. That will go through June the 21st, which is pretty much Father's Day, or, you know, after. Just try to bring your baby bottles back. If you picked one up and you've been collecting the loose change, those pay for ultrasounds for women who are anticipating having an abortion. In the upper 90 percentiles of those moms who are considering abortion, when they see that baby by ultrasound, over 90% of them, high 90 percentiles, don't go through with an abortion because they understand it's a life. That's what your change and your money in those baby bottles goes to. So we'll start collecting them on Father's Day. If you've brought them back early, that's fine. You can just give them to us, and we'll put them over there with the others and get her squared away. June the 10th at 9 o'clock a.m. will be the ladies' breakfast at Cagney's. On Friendly, and then several things that we've got going on for the 14th of June. That's, we're actually going to be observing communion on the 14th of June, so deacons, be ready. I'll let you know a little bit more about that as we get closer, but June 14th, we will have communion. It will also be Graduate Recognition Sunday on the 14th, as well as a business meeting on the 14th. June, you're saying no. The 28th, okay. I'm assuming it's the 28th because that's the moderator that just told me. So 28th is when we'll do it. And I thought that would be our regular business meeting. Okay, so the 28th, if it's anything different, we'll let you know. We'll notify you along the way. But 28th, because I know we've got Father's Day, and June's a busy month as well. So anyway, we're going to plan on the 28th, unless you hear otherwise. That's the way we'll roll with that, all right? So Is there anything I have forgotten? I always like to mention that because, as you can tell, I can mess things up and in great fashion.
Game night
is the 13th. Okay. And cover dish, game night on the 13th. Everybody's here. Bring your neighbors. Just have a good old wonderful time. That's going to be in the gym. Blue over in that.
I'm going to be
Roger in
cornhole.
Uh-oh. You better watch out. I tell you, there is a sign-up sheet back there if you can come. And that's just for people to know kind of who to plan for and probably let them know what you're going to bring. If you're bringing something, you can do that because it's just going to be a fun time of getting together as family. So that's what we want to do. We used to do that, and I can tell you this much, as when we thought about that, when we had a cornhole tournament, men's cornhole tournament, the biggest trash talker that you ever knew in your life was J.C. Williams. J.C. Williams could get, he could get in your head worse than anybody I ever knew. I mean, J.C. was that one that you just wanted to charge at him and sling a beanbag at really, really hard. He could. You were there, Roger. That he could get in your head quicker than anybody in this world. But I miss old J.C. I look forward to seeing him again in the kingdom of heaven. And I'm just going to let you know, too, that if you ever play cornhole, you watch out for Roger Brooks. If he says he's no good, he's not. He's world class, man. That guy will be on TV playing cornhole. So anyway, we love him. He would set that up. He won all the time. Pastor David, come on up. See us off in a word of prayer. If there's anything I've forgotten, let us know. God bless you, folks. I love you. And thank you for the opportunity to serve at Central Baptist Church.
June is a busy month. Also, June is the month that we receive offerings for support of Camp Carefree. We'll be giving you some more information about that. Camp Carefree begins the last Sunday night in June and goes through July the 3rd. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us and that you made provision for us to spend eternity with you. Lord, help us who know we're saved and know where we're going to share that with those we come in contact with. And Lord, help us to live our lives so that when we share our testimony, people believe it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.